Well, as I was just sharing, when you say you're an overcomer, that means, just a dictionary, that means that you overwhelm something. You gain superiority. You win. If you're an overcomer, you win. You overcome something. You conquer it. You defeat it. You prevail. If you're an overcomer, that means you prevail over something, or you subdue it, or you could say you triumph over. Well, as I was sharing that, when the scripture says that we're overcomers through Christ and that he's made us to be overcomers, then you might say, well, it sure doesn't look like it. Sure looks like a mess in my life. And you might be facing all kinds of turmoil and tribulation. But the scripture says that we're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Where does faith come? Faith begins, as the scripture says, faith begins where the will of God is known. And so when we open up this lesson, I just want to look at 2 Corinthians in the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be what? Made right with God through Christ. Hallelujah. So there was, as we would say, a divine exchange that he identified with us, a fallen mankind and full of sin. And he did what? He took our sin, he took our sickness, he became what? Our substitute. He became, as the scripture says, a propitiation. That means he became an atoning sacrifice. He reconciled us to God, which is what the scripture says. It was Christ that reconciled us. And so through that reconciliation, we have peace with God. Well, if you're at peace with someone, then that means that we have fellowship. If you're at peace, a lot of times, countries trying to make peace with one another so that what? They can have fellowship or they can have communication with one another. So when we look at Romans chapter 3 in the New Living Translation, and verses 24 through 27, it says, God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. Glory to God. He did this through Christ Jesus. This is Romans 3:24. It says he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Now, this is what I was looking at. Verse 25, it says, for God presented Jesus as what? The sacrifice for sin. It says, people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. And then it continues. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just. And he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then? Well, the scripture says certainly not. It says that we have done anything to be accepted by God. No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it is based on faith. So when we talk about faith, I want to look at and also in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, in the Message translation, And I like this. It said, God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world. I like the way that says that. He sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. Glory to God. So when you expressed or you released your faith, you know, we believe and therefore speak. The scripture in Romans 10 and 9 and 10, it tells us that we have to do what? Declare. This is the New Living Translation. It says, if you openly what? Declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So this act of our faith, when we had faith in him or faith in his blood, it's, what did it say in Romans 3:25? It says, having faith in him sets us in the clear. Glory to God. So we're in the clear. So there's no condemnation, as the scripture says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's no condemnation. So our attitude, our thinking ought to be, wow, I'm in the clear. I have fellowship with God. So whose report, as Isaiah says, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what God says about you? Is your attitude, your thinking going to be, wow, I'm in the clear. I have fellowship with God. Even if you missed it, even if you started out on the right track and you've missed it, and you've done something that you just think, you know, God could never forgive me, that's not what the scripture says in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the scripture is very clear that when we accept Jesus, we've been set in the clear. We've been made free. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So let's look at Ephesians 1, verse 7, some familiar scriptures. And all of this is, we are conquerors. How? Through faith in his blood. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then it goes on, then let's look at Colossians 1:12-14 in the New Living Translation. Just looking at some scriptures to support our case, support our position, to change our thinking, to change how we view things. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. So Colossians 1:12, it says, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So we're in the clear. We've been delivered from the power of sin. We have a new master. We have a new father. We don't serve the Lord. We don't serve the devil anymore. We serve God. We serve the Lord Jesus. And so he has freed us, and what does it say? Translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So he's taken up residence. We're connected to heaven now, not connected to darkness. Glory to God. So Hebrews 9:12 and the King James. Actually, let's look at this in the Passion Translation. Hebrews 9:12. in the Passion Translation. It says, he has entered once and forever into the holiest sanctuary of all, not with the blood of animal sacrifices, but the sacred blood of his own sacrifice. Hallelujah. And he alone has made our salvation secure forever. Your salvation is secure forever, and he alone did that through the blood of his cross. And so the price that Jesus paid to free us from Satan's bondage and ownership was the blood of Jesus. We're free. We're set free. And yeah, he may deceive you. He may cause you to mess up, but he has no control over you. You have a free will here. You can serve Jesus. And it was the shedding of his blood that guaranteed our deliverance and freedom from Satan's bondage. So let's take a quick look here at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22 in the New Living Translation. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22. And it says, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So I'm going to stop here a moment. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. So that means he's not mad at people. He has open arms. He's welcoming everyone by how? What gave us the means to do that? The blood of the cross, the blood of Christ's blood on the cross. And so that gave access to him that allows everyone. And it says here, he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. So this, continuing in verse 21, it says here, this includes you who were once far away from God. Oh boy, were we ever. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. In verse 22, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Oh boy. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. So, you know, the devil, this is what he doesn't want us to understand, to grasp, is that the world and its system, which is controlled by Satan and all that report to him, endeavor to blind the minds of those who are lost so that they do what? They just think God's mad or it's a joke or they don't believe in any of it, that there couldn't possibly be a God that loves people and cares for people. Why? Because Satan is blinding. He's lying to people. And there's a, most people, before they came to Christ, there was a hunger in them to be loved and to love. And that hunger a lot of times was sought out in many, and is still being sought out in many different ways. People are doing all kinds of things to satisfy this dissatisfaction that's in them. And so we see here that when God says he's made us holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault, that means from the lessons I was teaching recently, there's no evidence, none. If you're blameless, that means there's no evidence of sin or faults in his presence. And if you knowingly missed it somewhere, you ask for forgiveness and he will cleanse you of unrighteousness and you can stand in his presence without a fault, without sin or a fault. So when our conscience or our spirit is cleansed by the blood, we have what? Confidence or faith towards God. And Hebrews 10:19 in the New Living Translation, this is why we can boldly come before his presence. This in Hebrews 10:19, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place." Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. It has cleansed our heart and our conscience where we can boldly enter in because there's not a sense of sin or condemnation. And if the devil is bombarding your mind, you just remind him of what the scripture says. Faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13, faith believes and therefore speaks. We believe and therefore we speak. What, speak what? I'm redeemed. I've been made holy. I believe in let me just turn over there for a moment. In 1 Peter, I believe it is. I don't believe it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it is. Let me just get over here. Yeah, verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a what? A royal priesthood and holy nation." It says a peculiar people, that means purchased. And it says that you should do what? Show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glory to God. So we've been redeemed, and there's no condemnation, as the scripture says in the New Living. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. So now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. Oof. There's no condemnation. God's not mad. God's not holding a record of wrongs against us. He did what? He exchanged, he took our sins, the condemnation that was supposed to be ours, he took it. And he did what? He shed his blood to free us and to do what? Wipe the slate clean, as they say. And that's what we read before in Message Translation. That he said, our slate is clean. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to take a quick look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 through 7 in the Passion Translation. You know, the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He always has been. And he, got kicked out of heaven. And I'll tell you, you need to kick him. Not only, you know, he got kicked out of heaven, you've got the greater one in you. You need to kick him out of your life and remind him that the blood of Jesus is greater. And he has no access to you, access to your thinking, access to your heart. Hallelujah. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 through 7 in the Passion Translation, it says, "This is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. we now repeat his words to you. Wow. So these words they heard, and so they're repeating. This ought to be our testimony. We ought to share this similar things. What does it say? God is pure light, and you will never find even a trace of darkness in him. Well, you know, if you just stop there, if there is not even a trace of darkness in him, and we have accepted him, and he has come to take up residence in us, that means there's not even a trace of darkness in us. And that has to be so, because if there was even a trace of darkness in you, you would not go to heaven, because darkness is not allowed in heaven. Only light. God is light. So for us, the things that trip us up, it's the thinking, it's the mind, it's your thinking and your soulish realm that begins to embrace thoughts that come in instead of rejecting the thoughts. So when we see there's no evidence in darkness in us, that means we stand in the presence of God, free and clear. And so this confidence that we have, that we can enter boldly into the presence of God and receive mercy and help in the time of need, we can boldly come to the throne of grace. Why? Because we're children of light. So whoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. And what? This is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Even our faith. 1 John 5 and 4. Now, I wanted to look at Romans 8:31 and look at this in the New Living Translation. Romans 8:31. And get our thinking in line with the Word of God, because the Word of God is very clear that we need to have our mind renewed. But Romans 8:31, starting there, it says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" Whew. And then it goes on. "Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else?" "Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own?" What's the answer? No one. "For God himself has given us right standing with himself." Keep going back. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. So verse 34, what does it say? "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at Christ's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us?" See, oh boy, this is, I like the way the New Living reads this. It says here, "Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death?" And what's the answer? "As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep." And the answer is, in verse 37, no. "Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Woo! And what else does Paul say? And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor what? Demons, neither our fears, for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Hallelujah. Verse 39, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we talk about his shed blood, the love of God is in that shed blood. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus. So, you know, I heard somebody say his blood is like liquid love. Oh, yeah, it represents the love of God, that he shed his blood for us. So nothing can separate us. I like what that says. It says that even your fears, it says neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Glory to God. So our thinking, our whole attitude on things, regardless of what you're going through in life, God is for you. And you need to have faith in that blood. Faith, that blood represents the love of God in Christ and through Christ. I like a song. I like the lyrics to this song. Many years ago, I remember this song. It was back in the late 70s, 78 through 80, in the early 80s. It was a song by Janie Grine. And the song was, "We've Been Made More Than Conquerors." I tell you, it was scripture-based. The chorus was, "We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ." Glory to God. So we have been made overcomers. How? Through Christ. And so we need to remind ourselves daily, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're faced with, we are overcomers through Christ. That means I've got the wisdom of God. I know I'm going to know what to do to walk through this situation. And no power on this earth, no demon in hell can overcome or to separate me from God's love. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at Colossians chapter 2. In the Passion Translation, in verse 9 and 10, and then I may jump down to 14, but I just want to start, look at verses 9 and 10 in Colossians. In the Passion, it says, "For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human forms." Talking about Jesus here. He is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. In verse 10, "And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe." Ooh. So that means that's why we can say what the scripture says in 1 John 5:4, that whosoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Why? Because I've been filled with what? I'm completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. And it says what? He is the head of every kingdom and authority in this universe. Oh boy, yes, sir. Now look at verse 14 of that chapter, Colossians 2, in the Passion Translation. It says, he canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. That's being set free. That's being, they say in the natural, in this earth, something has been eradicated. It's been expunged. You can't find it. If you went looking, if you were to go into records and try to find an arrest warrant, you couldn't find it. It's been expunged. So the record of our sins and sicknesses that are against us has been erased. It's been deleted. It's been removed because of the blood of Jesus. There's no evidence of it, no evidence against us. So this should give us great boldness and great confidence to enter into his presence and to have fellowship with him. As Galatians 3:13 in the Passion Translation, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But I like what the Passion Translation says. It says, yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. He absorbed it all. He took it all. He took the curse. And so we can enter in and receive the blessings of God. Don't let the devil steal and put thoughts in your mind and affect your confidence. Let the Word of God and what it says give you confidence. We have faith in him through the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. So I like this particular scripture, Romans 12:2, in the Passion Translation. And it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating it. And what? The ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Not just a little, this is a total reformation. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So our heart has been changed. There's no darkness, not even a trace of darkness in us, because as the scripture says in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and so who loved me and did what? Gave himself for me. So if there's not a trace of darkness in Christ, then there's not a trace of darkness in me, because it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. But our mind has to be what? Transformed. That means there's a total metamorphosis. That word transformation, when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, that's what the King James says. That word transformed is a Greek word called metamorphou. It means where we get the word metamorphosis. That means there's a total change or transformation. That butterfly came out, but it went in as what? A caterpillar. And so it totally transformed into something else. So that's what has to happen in our mind, in our thinking. We cannot embrace the ideals and opinions or the thoughts that come in from the devil. We have to do what? Cast them down. Cast down every vain imagination and every thought that does what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So as we embrace the Word of God, it gives us great confidence that we have faith in the blood of Jesus. So this overcoming faith, this overcoming life that we have and that we live, it's how? Through the blood of Jesus. And I like, let's just look again at the New Living Translation in Romans 8, chapter 8, and verse 31 again. But let's back up. Let's look at verse 35, 36, and 37. This is in the Romans chapter 8. It says, "Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with love, threatened with death?" And then it goes on. And it says, verse 36, "As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours who loved us, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God." You've got to have that kind of thinking and that kind of attitude. You know, God is looking to use his people, his body, to go into places that sometimes aren't comfortable. He's going to send us into places as the light, walking in the light to do what? Shine on the darkness and to repel the darkness, where darkness has held sway and has gripped people's lives and communities. He may send us into places where it's uncomfortable, where there may be, like this says, trouble and calamity that we may face, and persecution and all these different things. He may send us into that. Does it mean that he doesn't love us? No. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And so we need to get our minds transformed and renewed that we are overcomers in this life through Christ and his blood. And the devil knows it. And we need to walk as victors and with a victory mentality, an overcoming mentality, because we are. And so I just share those thoughts this evening that we remind ourselves, no matter what we're walking through and going through personally, or if God sends us, he may not tell you. You know, usually God has a way. He said, "Go over here." He never tells us what we're going to face. He never tells us we're going to have some opposition over here. He's expecting us to obey by faith, walk by faith, and not by sight or what we see or our feelings. He expects us to operate in the power of God's word. You know, when he sent the disciples out, he empowered them with his anointing to go out and to do what? To you know, minister to people, lay hands on the sick, and to cast demons out of people. And so he did the same thing with us before he was what? Ushered up into heaven, and he ascended to heaven. Before he did, he said, do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all men. Well, you know, going into all the world and making disciples is going to come with some opposition. and it's going to come with going into some areas where the devil doesn't want to let go of people's lives and areas and things that he's held sway. But God is looking for a people that will take hold and have faith in the name of Jesus, faith in the blood of Jesus, and walk as an overcomer. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's life and power to us. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus that has not only cleansed us, but we thank you for the light of your word, which is transforming and renewing our minds. And we thank you that we are sealed by the precious Holy Spirit. And we thank you that we walk in this earth protected by the armor of God and the shield of faith. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. And before we receive our offering this evening, I would just ask, if you're watching, or you will or watch at some point, and you don't know the Lord Jesus, maybe you believe that he's the Christ, that he came to this earth, but you never made a profession, you never confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you didn't believe that he was raised from the dead, but you need to say that and say it with your mouth. Believe in your heart, say with your mouth. So let's say this simple confession of faith. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of all mankind. And I thank you that he took my sins. And when sin was paid for, he was raised from the dead. And I believe that, and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, cleanse me with your blood. And I thank you for it now, and I receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that simple prayer, just reach out and let us know that you did that, and we will send you some information as to who you have become. And I rejoice, and we all rejoice, with those that have and those that maybe got some things right. Maybe you are a Christian or were, you know, somebody that accepted Jesus and maybe you got off track. Well, you know what? He loves you. And he's there just like the prodigal son. He's there waiting for you to come home. And if you're one of those, praise God.